I now give the floor to Her Excellency Maxine McLean, Minister for Foreign Affairs and Foreign Trade of Barbados.
Mr. President, it is my distinct honor and pleasure to congratulate you on your assumption of the presidency of the 68th session of the United Nations General Assembly. CARICOM heads of government at their 34th meeting in July pledged their support for your presidency. Allow me, therefore, to assure you of my delegation's support throughout your current General Assembly. Let me also commend your predecessor, His Excellency Mr. Vuk Jeremic, for ably guiding the work of the General Assembly during its 67th session. You assume leadership of the General Assembly at a very pivotal moment in the UN timetable. The expiration deadline of the Millennium Development Goals is near, and our efforts to elaborate an agenda for the post-2015 period intensify. Post-Rio Plus 20 modification has been made to the institutional framework for sustainable development. An agreement has been reached on the establishment of the High-Level Political Forum and the United Nations Environment Assembly. The deliberations on the reform of the Economic and Social Council have been completed. It is envisaged that the deliberations of the Open-Ended Working Group for Sustainable Development Goals and the Intergovernmental Committee on Financing Sustainable Development will accelerate in the next few months. The international community continues to chart a course in the pursuit of global sustainable development. Mr. President, the theme of the 68th session of the Younger Post-2015 Development Agenda, Setting the Stage, will require that we engage in what might be best described as a retrospective and prospective dialogue. Much has been said about the current global financial and economic crisis, one made worse by the many manifestations of the impact of climate change, extreme weather events, food crises, and volatile food prices, compounded by the unprecedented levels of terror and violence. At the same time, we have seen a global determination to tackle these issues. Barbados recognizes that the stability, health, and productivity of the global environment, particularly coastal and marine resources, are fundamental to the survival of Barbados, CARICOM, and other small island developing states. We therefore deem it imperative that countries like ours maintain active involvement in the shaping of the global development policy agenda. It is recognized, however, that SIDS are constrained in their ability and capacity to craft independent solutions. One major barrier is our debt situation. The issue of debt sustainability is of particular relevance to SIDS. In highlighting its importance, the Prime Minister of Barbados, in his feature address to the recently concluded Interregional Preparatory Meeting for the Third International Conference on the Sustainable Development of SIDS, noted, and I quote, "Debt sustainability is a critical issue, not only for Barbados, but for many of the SIDS. We must therefore use the opportunity provided by the Third International Conference on SIDS to both find and share solutions to this challenge, as it is a major constraint to SIDS achieving sustainable development. In this context, it is imperative, before we meet in Samoa, an opportunity be provided to fully ventilate this matter. In this regard, the relevant entity in the United Nations responsible for coordinating SIDS issues may want to consider convening a meeting of the finance and economic ministers of SIDS to discuss this issue and to put forward specific recommendations to be considered as part of the outcome of the Third International Meeting on SIDS. I repeat this call to this august body and commend it to the relevant entity of the UN system to act expeditiously on this proposal. Mr. President, another issue of concern to Barbados relates to the international financial services sector. We believe that the sustainability of our development is being stymied by efforts to undermine this very important sector, which continues to provide stable and substantial contribution to our gross domestic product. Barbados therefore associates itself with the comments of the Right Honorable Perry Christie, Prime Minister of the Bahamas, in his address to the General Assembly. We are a well-regulated jurisdiction which has sought at all times to comply with international rules and best practice, and it is our intention to operate within the established international norms which have guided the sector to date. In 1994, Barbados was honored to host the first global conference on the sustainable development of small island developing states. At that time, we were optimistic that the international community's recognition of the inherent vulnerabilities of small states would lead to real progress in the development of SIDS. However, the five-year review of the Mauritius Strategy in 2010 revealed that, and I quote, small island developing states have made less progress than most other groupings, or even regressed in economic terms, especially in terms of poverty reduction and debt sustainability. Despite this, Barbados remains committed to the process to advance the sustainable development of SIDS. As you are aware, Mr. President, Barbados attaches great importance to sustainable development in all its dimensions. We believe that the theme for this year's session, the post-2015 development agenda setting the stage, is thus both timely and important. Such an agenda must recognize the importance of addressing the very specific needs of the members of the United Nations. I speak, therefore, from the perspective of SIDS. Mr. President, Barbados believes that the post-2015 development agenda should involve commitments to the eradication of poverty and hunger, environmental sustainability with a strong emphasis on coastal and marine resources, the development of sustainable and accessible renewable energy technologies, the pursuit of a sustainable agriculture agenda in tandem with food and nutrition security, gender equality and women's empowerment, and youth development, education, and employment. We also call for emphasis on the inclusion of vulnerable groups, including persons with disabilities. The requisite means of implementation, including capacity building, technology transfer, trade, and technical cooperation. The integration of appropriate systems for accountability, monitoring, evaluation, and reporting, and good governance, respect for human rights, and the rule of law. Mr. President, this is not a mere shopping list. It reflects the understanding that all these issues are inextricably linked. They represent challenges or problems that must be tackled simultaneously if we are to achieve sustainable development. These cannot be addressed in a silo-like manner. The importance of a policy of sustainable development can therefore not be understated. It is a matter of survival. It is for this reason that the government of Barbados has envisioned the building of a green economy as our strategy for advancing our sustainable development. As Prime Minister Frundel Stuart indicated in the foreword of the Green Economy Scoping Study Synthesis Report on Barbados, the green economy debate recognizes our structural vulnerabilities, offers a model to assist us in further realizing our sustainable development aspirations, and creates the institutional platform that will enable us to participate in innovative partnerships in the fight to save our planet against mounting unsustainable consumption and production patterns. Our situation is not a special case. A special case for development holds as true today as it did over 20 years ago, when the United System first acknowledged our vulnerabilities and our special link to ocean resources. In Barbados's case, we are of the opinion that a green economy is inextricably linked to our development, and as such should not be lost in this very important discussion. Mr. President, over the past several months, increasing attention has been focused on the preparatory process for the third International Conference on the Sustainable Development of SIDS in Samoa in 2014. Three regional preparatory meetings in the various SIDS regions were convened in July. You may recall that the International Regional Meeting was held in my country, Barbados, the birthplace of the Program of Action for the Sustainable Development of the SIDS, the Barbados Program of Action, or BPOA. Barbados attaches great importance to the preparatory process for the Samoa Conference. As we take stock after almost 20 years of the implementation of the BPOA and 10 years of the Mauritius strategy for the further implementation of the BPOA, we wish to emphasize that this process is an integral part of the overall post-2015 development agenda. This preparatory process is one which can strengthen the collective action of SIDS in addressing their vulnerabilities and special development challenges. Prime Minister Stewart of Barbados referred to this recently as building SIDS collectivity. The support of the international community must underpin this concept of SIDS collectivity via strengthening inter- and intra-regional collaboration between SIDS and the various SIDS region. Increasing emphasis on institutional building, including the establishment of an appropriate institutional mechanism to facilitate its particular intra-regional collaboration among SIDS. Credence is given to this approach by the United Nations Secretary General's High-Level Panel on Global Sustainability. This report stressed that the building of effective institutional governance at the local, national, regional, and global levels is essential for achieving sustainable development. Facilitating greater utilization of science and technology in helping to address many of the issues being faced by our young people in strengthening the interface between youth talent, innovation, and entrepreneurship, and speaking with one voice at the international level on issues impacting on SIDS sustainable development. Mr. President, Barbados believes firmly that South-South and triangular cooperation must be part of any effort to reform the existing international development cooperation architecture and to build more inclusive global partnerships for effective development cooperation. We possess a wealth of experience in areas that we can share with developing and middle-income countries: education and training, healthcare, social partnering, clean energy policies and technologies, environmental protection, including coastal conservation, and the provision of social safety nets. Like other SIDS, however, we are constrained by limited financial resources and the persistent and prolonged global financial crisis, which continue to have a negative impact on resource mobilization and in financial flows to developing countries. Barbados supports the observation made by the UN Office for South-South Cooperation that there is need to incentivize the Global South to invest more in multilateral forms of South-South cooperation. We welcome, therefore, the formation of partnerships with the private sector, international organizations, donors, and civil society organizations specifically designed to better facilitate such South-South cooperation. Mr. President, there is clear need for greater equity, fairness, and transparency in the method employed to determine socioeconomic classifications and resource allocation. The persistent use of arbitrarily determined international classification and rating systems, which are based on GDP per capita and other narrow criteria, must be expanded in scope to take into account meaningful variables such as vulnerability. In this context, we reference again the observation by the UN Secretary General that GDP per capita on its own is an inadequate indicator. We also applaud the useful research being conducted on vulnerability indices and other measures beyond GDP by bodies such as the Commonwealth, ECLAC, and the UN Statistical Commission. Barbados will continue its advocacy on this issue. Mr. President, Barbados is not unique. Like other SIDS, we recognize that our efforts to achieve sustainable development must of necessity incorporate delivery modalities encompassing finance, good governance, development cooperation, trade capacity building, and institutional strengthening. Barbados therefore reminds this body that we must foster strong partnerships if we are to craft effective and truly lasting global solutions. We call on member states to revisit the Small Island Developing States Technical Assistance Program, SIDSTAP, as a means of enabling the transfer of skills, knowledge, and experience across SIDS and the three SIDS regions. We hold the view that this program offers much potential for enhancing capacity and access to SIDS grown technologies and skill sets. SIDSTAP must be seen as an important mechanism for advancing the post-2015 development agenda. Mr. President, the provision of free health care for Barbadian citizens has been a critical contributor to Barbados' high level of human development. The treatment and prevention of chronic non-communicable diseases, however, account for a disproportionately large percentage of our national budget. This has meant the diversion of scarce resources which should have been devoted to achieving other development goals. As such, CNCDs constitute one of the major challenges to Barbados' sustainable development, effectively threatening the development gains which Barbados has made. Our strong commitment to preventing and combating CNCDs is reflected in strong multi-stakeholder partnerships, including the dedicated engagement of civil society. Despite the national prioritization of NCDs, the focus on prevention and the implementation of evidence-based programs, a developing country such as Barbados cannot on its own achieve its national objectives. International cooperation and assistance in this area is critical. Mr. President, my country does not draw a dividing line between its domestic and foreign policies. We have been blessed with stable governments. We have enjoyed a tradition of constitutional change in our government since independence. As a nation, we have strived to create a just society. We see an inextricable link between development and international peace and security. Without development, there can be no international peace and security. And without international peace and security, the development agenda will not succeed. For Barbados, therefore, the rule of law at the national and international level is an indispensable condition for sustainable development. Barbados is deeply concerned by the number of national, regional, and international conflicts raging around the world. We are yet more concerned at the threshold of what constitutes an acceptable level of violence and acceptable levels of atrocity grow higher and higher. The findings of the UN inspection team that chemical weapons were used in Syria are alarming. My country believes that the perpetrators of these acts must be brought to account. Moreover, we believe that the international community must work in good faith to find a political solution to the escalating and ongoing humanitarian crisis in Syria. At the same time, the international community must not lose sight of the many conflicts and acts of terror which continue around the world. Against this background, my delegation wishes to extend profound condolences to the government and people of Kenya on the recent terrorist attacks that were perpetrated against the people of Kenya. As we have stated, there can be no justification for acts of terror. Mr. President, in Barbados and the Caribbean, illicit small arms and light weapons are the weapons of mass destruction, primarily linked to international drug trafficking and other transnational organized crime. The proliferation of illicit small arms and light weapons in the Caribbean exacts a heavy toll on state and citizen security and impairs national development. For this reason, Barbados and CARICOM consistently argue for the elaboration of a robust, legally binding ATT, which would set the highest common international standards for regulating the transfer of conventional arms. Barbados is pleased, therefore, to be amongst those member states which have signed the Arms Trade Treaty. It is our hope that the implementation of the treaty will lead to the reduction in the flow of illicit small arms, light weapons, their ammunition, parts and components, thus contributing to the reduction in armed conflict and violence. Mr. President, our first Prime Minister, now national hero, the Right Excellent Errol Walton Barrow, in his maiden speech to this august body on December 9, 1966, stated, "We have no quarrels to pursue, and we particularly insist that we do not hold any state as our natural opponent. We will not regard any great power as necessarily right in any given dispute unless we are convinced of this. Yet at the same time, we will not view the great powers with perennial suspicion. The United Nations was established at a time in the aftermath of the Second World War to promote international peace and security. We call on the United Nations Security Council to meet its obligations to the international community. It is clear that there cannot be business as usual whilst humanitarian crises continue to emerge and countless lives continue to be lost. Mr. President, my delegation therefore remains concerned about the economic embargo which continues to be imposed on Cuba, as well as the extraterritorial impact that that embargo continues to have on countries in and outside our region. We call for the ending of this embargo and trust that it will soon be ushered into the pages of history. Mr. President, my delegation looks to the further unfolding of the post-2015 development agenda during the 68th session of the General Assembly, and I wish you, sir, every success as you guide the General Assembly in realizing the agenda that is an agenda that is inclusive and one which will redound to the benefit of all. I thank you.